Welcome back, friends. We're staying here on this theme of family ties in our Lord's teaching and considerations of it. July 29th, the first prelude. Imagine you see Jesus instructing the people and receiving an invitation to come to his mother and his brethren. Second prelude. Beg for detachment from all undue, he's not saying all natural, all undue natural affection for your relations. And for us mothers, that includes our children. Point one. So he has several points. I'm just picking out the first one. Relationship of Jesus Christ and with Jesus Christ. Consideration. An apparently accidental incident interrupted our Lord's discourse. People came to tell him that his mother and other near relatives were come from Nazareth and stood without seeking to speak to him. And one said to him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without seeking thee." But he, answering him that told him, said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" And stretching forth his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, or those who stand to me in the place of mother and brethren." Application. What does our divine Lord teach us by this? That when the glory of God, the salvation of souls, or our own sanctification is in question, we ought to forget all that attaches us to earth, and that when necessary, we should sacrifice the affection we have for our relations to the obedience and fidelity we owe to God. In other words, we ought to love our relations and friends only in God, for God, and as God. This is the meaning of that rule which bids the religious to try to turn the affection which they naturally and lawfully have for their parents, brothers, and sisters into a spiritual love. Have you conformed to these rules of conduct?
Yeah. And it's so interesting there, because as you were going through that meditation, it just made me think, you know, sometimes our Lord asks questions not because he doesn't know the answer, right? But because he specifically needs to direct us to that moment that you were just talking about, that the only rightly ordered relationship with anyone that we are in the world with is when those people are not an obstacle to us entering, that don't prevent our relationship from being correctly ordered to God, right? Everyone needs to be loved both because of God and for their own sake. But if you only love them for their own sake and not because of God, you do not actually have a right order. And so interesting. You can just see that there is so much food for meditation in that book. We could probably just hash out one of those for a long conversation.
Absolutely. And I could see going through it through the years would also yield, a greater and greater harvest.
Right.
You know, people say, how can there be so much scholarship? You know, scripture's been out, New Testament 2,000 years before that, 2,000 years, you know, maybe 1,000 years with David's writing, you know, debate about 3,000, 4,000 years of writing. Thing is, we change.
We change always.
We right. always change. And that's where it's ever ancient, ever new.
Right.
Ever yes, ancient.
We're always bringing a new perspective, a new problem that has come up, a new consolation that makes us see something differently. Absolutely. I mean, but that is why, you know, back in the day when this book would have been bought, this would have been kind of a pearl of great price. People would not have had 75 different books at their fingertips. I mean, you know, both of us are blessed to have like incredible bookshelves behind us with hundreds of books. I mean, just in this little window of vision between your room and my room, we probably have you know, 300, 400, 500 books at our disposal, just like that. Well, this would have been, this would have probably been one book out of 10 or 15 that people would have had access to on a daily basis. And I do think that part of the problem that we have in the modern world is because there's so much that we can choose from. We become a very unselective consumer. And it is imperative that we really start to prioritize these pearls of great price, right? These books are hard fought, hard gained wisdom that somebody who was a real spiritual, had a deep spiritual life in our Lord, an intense spiritual formation through the Jesuits and a really good education. He has given to us anonymously all the fruits of his labor, right? And hard fought labor. I mean, he does not just come to these things so easily. 800 pages worth of probably pearl after pearl after pearl. And it's imperative that we look for these treasures and that they become part of, like, as you had said with your daughter, right? That she kind of, do you know how Nicole found this particular book?
She's drawn to the traditional calendar. Oh, maybe it was Peter Kwasinski may have mentioned it, or she may have seen it on a site such as that. Right. And ordered it, took it because she thought it would fit in her life. And it really has turned out it does fit in her life quite well.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because we just, you know, I think it reminds me of that time, like maybe 10 to 15 years ago when, you know, all of us who had been raised with the Glory and Praise book and, you know, God bless you if you love the music, I take nothing away from it. But when the monks again started to put out their Gregorian chant in CD forms, people were astounded by the beauty. When the Talus scholars again suddenly started putting out these great works of Thomas Talus, right? And you heard this polyphony for the first time kind of like break its way through the internet and all the pop music and all the, particularly in the 1990s, the late 1990s, those were such ugly, it was a time of really ugly music, right? The grunge rock. And so the world was kind of in a doldrum that when that hit the ears of so many people on the internet for the first time, it was almost like a mini renaissance within music and within liturgy. Suddenly these songs started coming back into our lexicon and we started hearing them a little bit more at Mass. And then we started wondering, well, where have these been? Why have we not heard these? And I think that this is actually that next level of the onion, right? You know, I take nothing away from, you know, the people who have had a deep spiritual movement where they really felt called to recognize their Lord as their personal savior, right? They entered into a very deep relationship with him, but I call them the just prayers. You know, Lord, we just offer you everything that we have. We just ask you to, you know, please be with us. We, you know, because we're little children trying to invent a dialogue with our Father that we now have come into a relationship with. And this book takes all of that emotional anxiety of how do I make this connection with my Lord? And it provides, and the same thing is true with the Mother Love book. It gives a language that permits us to speak to God at a very high level without stuttering, right? We can just speak to him profoundly. And when these, it's like the music, when that music is put into your head, that Gregorian chant, those beautiful songs by Talus, all of those beautiful things, when they enter into your brain, something shifts. When you find yourself speaking these words, something within you shifts, right? There's an awakening and a hunger. And you think to yourself, why have I never prayed like this before? It's and I think that most people who kind of, if anyone does choose to look into the purchase of this book, I think that you will find that, or the Mother Love book, I think that you will find that to be profoundly true, that it's basically the language that you've been looking for. It's an elevated language, a holy language that becomes a very hopeful language, and it raises your thoughts to things that in our modern world, it's hard to get through the pablum, right?
I'm trying. At the end of the day, it's very, very hopeful. It produces joy and happiness, virtue and hope. It is, you know, the fruits and gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right, my friends, that hopefully will wet your whistle. And till the next time, Fide Serratio.